We Baptists clean up pretty good for the Reformation. You look good in all of your red out there. You know, red is the color of the Reformation. For those of you in the sanctuary, if you look at these beautiful paraments that we have, and we don't use the red parament that often, but the symbol on the red parament is a dove which is the symbol of the Holy Spirit descending, and there are three circles, the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the dove is descending. Red became the color of the Reformation because it was through the power of the Holy Spirit that the church was cleansed, the church was renewed. The Reformation was empowered by the power of the Spirit, and that's why you see so many Lutheran churches that have red doors, because Reformation is a big day for the Lutherans. Because remember, it was Martin Luther who nailed those 95 theses on the door. Tomorrow it will be 499 years. Next year is the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. Of course, every year when we do Reformation Sunday, I have somebody who will ask me, well, why are you Baptists doing that? I thought that was a Lutheran thing. And I tell them, well, you know, we like Reformation too. And then somebody will inevitably ask me the question, are Baptists even Protestants? Of course, some of you were in the study we had of Baptists a few weeks ago when we raised this question. The answer depends on how you define a Protestant. If a Protestant means going back to the Reformation, then no, we are not Protestants. Baptists came out of the separatist movement, that came out of the Puritan movement, that came out of the Church of England, that separated from the Catholic Church, not out of conviction, not out of the conviction of spiritual principle, as did Luther and Zwingli and Calvin and Huss and Waldo and Wycliffe, but out of convenience, because old King Henry VIII was upset that the Pope would not grant him an annulment so he could marry Anne Boleyn. Is that any way to start a church? Well, that's where the Baptists came from. And while the Lutherans have Martin Luther on this 499th anniversary, they even have their own anthem that we sang this morning, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, written by Martin Luther. The Presbyterians have Calvin. The Reformed churches have Zwingli. The Methodists have John Wesley. And we Baptists, we have a guy by the name of John Smith. And that's not even maybe how you pronounced his name. Some people say Smythe. I mean, we have a guy by the name John Smith, and we learned that even after he founded the Baptist Church, later he got mad and left. I guess he really was a true Baptist, wasn't he? You know, the Lutherans have their own seal. They call the Luther seal or symbol. Reminds me of the story of the teacher who invited children to bring a symbol of their faith for show and tell. So the little Lutheran boy brings the symbol of Luther. Little Catholic girl brought a rosary. A little Jewish boy brought the Star of David. A little Baptist girl brought a casserole dish. We don't get any respect as Baptists. I mean, people, what are you doing Reformation for? That's Lutheran. Why are you doing this? You don't go back to the Reformation. But dear friends, let us not be discouraged and let us not be dismayed. We, the people called Baptists, we do have a symbol. It is the open Bible, the living Word of God. And we do have an anthem. And that anthem is called Freedom. And when we talk about the founder of our faith, we are not so much concerned about a name as a foundation. And the foundation of our faith are the words that you heard just a moment ago, for by grace are you saved through faith. That doesn't belong to the Lutherans. It belongs to all of us in the Word of God, the words of the Apostle Paul. We are the free people of grace. We are the people of the way. We are the people who have been called to share that grace. We are the chosen. We have been claimed by Jesus to be a light in this world of darkness. We are the people who live by faith. We are the people who love Jesus. And I'll take that distinction any day. And today, while we commemorate Reformation, let us talk about Reformation. Because our church, as we all know, our church is at a crossroads. This is a critical juncture in the life of our church. Sometime in the next few months, we're going to call a new associate minister for the first time in 30 years. Sometime in the next few months, we will be calling a new minister to come to this church, and this new minister will have the freedom to devote all of their time to doing the ministry, to taking all of those wonderful things that came out of the dream nights, to focus on our families, our young people, our children, our senior adults, to do the work that God has called this person to do. And so therefore, on this Reformation Sunday, I want to challenge you. I want to encourage you. I want to proclaim to you that we need a reformation. That we need a reformation of attitude. That we need a reformation of action. I want you to complete this sentence. I love my church because. I love my church because. Why do I love my church? I love my church because of these children. When we gather the children on Sunday morning, we are as close as we can be to the heartbeat of Jesus, who called all the little children to come to Him. I love my church because of our young people. Our young people, their commitment, their courage, their involvement. Isn't it great every Sunday to have a young person like Luke did this morning to lead us in our call to worship? And I love going places with our young people. Joyce and I, every time we go somewhere with them, we're so proud of these young people. They make us proud. They make this church proud. They make Jesus proud. I love my church because of our senior adults. Because of your wisdom, because of your commitment. And when we go places, we really do have a good time. I love my church because I know that we are making a difference in our community. I love my church because of these beautiful facilities. Now, I know that this church is old, and the reason I know that is the date on the cornerstone is the year that I was born. And so when I hear that we've got plaster falling from the ceiling, I go, yep, I can understand that. When I hear that we need to repair this or replace that, I go, I understand, because I'm exactly as old as this building. But I love this facility. It is a beautiful facility built to the glory of God. And I love my church when we open the doors of this facility and we allow the community to come in. I love my church because of our music. Paul and Deborah and Beverly and Peggy and all of our musicians, our choirs, We have the most beautiful music. I love our church because we are open to our community. We are not exclusive. We are part of a greater community of faith. And the block party this afternoon is just one example of that. Touching Davidson County with love, Palm Sunday. We love to unite with other members of our faith community. I love my church because I truly believe that we try to be salt and light in our community. We earnestly seek to be the presence of Christ. And I love our church because this church, we open our doors without qualification, without restriction, and without judgment. And we invite all of God's children to come. Whosoever is welcome in this church. If Jesus calls you, we embrace you. We don't have rich people and poor people and white people and black people and gay people and straight people and old people and young people, conservative people, liberal people, right people, wrong people. We have God's people. And that's the church that I love. I love my church because we respect those who have differing views. We are a people of grace, a people of forgiveness, a people of love, and a people of acceptance. I love my church. And you know why it's so important for us to be able to complete that sentence? Or mine was more like a paragraph. It's because our search committee, in the next few weeks, we're going to be talking to candidates. And we're going to be saying, I love my church. This is why I love First Baptist Church of Lexington. And this is why you will love this church when it becomes your church. It is so important for us to be able to share why I love my church. You know, it's so easy to be critical. It's so easy to focus on problems and complain. There is a World Series going on, although some of you may not have noticed because they do have the tendency to play in the middle of the night. But there's a World Series between the Chicago Cubs and the Cleveland Indians. The managers of those two respective teams, Terry Francona and Joe Maddon, are being spoken of as two of the greatest managers in Major League Baseball. They're at the top of their game. Everybody is praising those two managers because of their skills, because they have their teams in the World Series. What you may not know is that both of these managers have previously won a World Series. Terry Francona won two World Series with Boston. And Joe Maddon won a World Series in Tampa Bay. But a few years later, people forgot and they started complaining and they started criticizing. And both of these managers were fired by their respective teams because in sports, it's what have you done for me lately? And Moses knew about that. Moses led the children of Israel across the Red Sea. You think winning the World Series is big? How about that? And here they are out in the wilderness. And then all of a sudden it's like, what are we going to eat? And there's a miracle. There's miraculous manna. And there's quail. People are being fed by the hand of God. But then they forgot. And they started to criticize. And they started to complain and they said, we don't have anything to eat except all of this manna. They lost the big picture. They forgot the fact that they're on a journey to a promised land. Our attitude makes all the difference. That's why we read in the book of Proverbs, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And the great psychologist William James said, "The greatest discovery of my generation is that human beings can alter their lives by altering their attitudes of mind." The dean of the Yale School of Management interviewed 40 successful CEOs to see if he could find a common trait of leadership. And you know what he discovered? Every single one of these CEOs, without exception, was extremely optimistic. And they believed that the best days were the days to come. And they looked to the future, and they saw the big picture. And so for us, as a people of grace, our attitude means everything. Do we have an attitude of possibility? Do we come every Sunday believing that God will bless us in a powerful way, that we will see positive results? And do we believe that our best days are to come? If you were in Bible study this past week, we talked about C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis talked about a holy imagination. And that's what we need as a people of God. A holy imagination allows us to imagine the world as God sees it, to imagine our church as God sees our church. Mark Twain once said, "You can't depend on your eyes when your imagination is out of focus." We need a reformation of attitude to be positive, to have a holy imagination, to believe that God is leading us as a church into our greatest days. I heard a story about a church that had an AA group that met one night a week. And that group was constantly the source of criticism and complaining because they didn't always put the Sunday school rooms back the way they were supposed to, because people would come on Sunday and they would find cigarette butts outside and they were not supposed to be smoking. And people just complained and complained about the AA group. And one day, one of the most successful businessmen in town joined the church. Here was a man who was highly successful, involved in the community. He was on community boards. Everybody knew that he was a generous giver. And people were so excited that he was now a member of that congregation. And one day there was a lady in the church, and they were at a civic event, and she said, "I'm just so happy you're a part of our church. You know, we have a wonderful church. We have a lovely church. I just wish we could get rid of that AA group." She said, they're people that we don't want to associate with. They're people that cause trouble. We just worry about them when they're here." And the man looked at her and said, "I've been in that group for over 5 years. And the reason that I joined the church was because I said, if this church cares enough about people like us, then I want to be a part of that family." We need a reformation of our attitude, and we need a reformation of action. The church doesn't just happen. When we met a few weeks ago, when we talked about all of the hopes and the dreams, and we had so many wonderful ideas that came to the surface and that were expressed, that's not going to happen unless you become involved, unless you find your calling within this church. On the 15th of November, on a Tuesday night, we're going to give you the opportunity to be even more involved in the church. There are going to be 4 ministry teams that have come out of our dream nights: a missional team, a technology team, a worship team, and a wow team. And we believe that this expresses what our congregation has shared are the most important things, the priorities. But it will not happen unless you step up to the plate, unless you become involved, unless you become a leader. I love this definition of grace by Frederick Buechner. Buechner says the grace of God means something like this. Here is your life. You might never have been, but you are, because the party would not have been complete without you. Here is the world. Beautiful and terrible things will happen, but don't be afraid. I will be with you. Nothing can ever separate us. It's for you I created the universe. I love you. God has created us to be a part of the party, to be a part of this wonderful creation, knowing that even when terrible things happen, we will never be separated from Him. We are a people of grace, and we have been given the privilege and the opportunity and the responsibility of living for another day. Moses thought it was all over. He was a murderer, a fugitive. He was a shepherd in a foreign land. Simon Peter thought it was all over. He was the number one disciple. And in the greatest moment, when leadership should have been at the forefront, he ducked into the shadows and he denied Jesus not once, not twice, but three times. The Apostle Paul thought it was all over. But God called him to be the greatest missionary and ambassador of all time. It's never over. We have been given the grace to live another day. And so let us live with commitment. Let us live with enthusiasm and dedication. And let us be true to our calling. Let us seize the day. And let us work to make this church the church that God is calling us to be. This is the final Sunday in October. Do you realize we only have 8 Sundays left in 2016? 8 Sundays. I want to tell you something, talking about commitment. Part of that commitment is our financial commitment. And here we are with 2 months left in the year, and we are about the same place we were last year. Now, we had a wonderful November and December last year, and we were able to meet all of our commitments, but it's going to take another great November and December. The problem is not that we have many wonderful people who are doing all they can. The problem is we have a lot of people who are not doing anything. If all of us would be faithful to God in our financial commitment, we know what God expects of us. We know what God is calling us to do. But what you give to this church is between you and God. But if everyone would be involved, we would not have a problem. We give to the church in many different ways. Some of you are involved in online giving, which is wonderful. Some of you mail your contributions in. Some give through Sunday school. Some give monthly. Some give quarterly. But however you give, I would like to challenge us to do something. In just a few minutes, we will do something that we do every Sunday. We're going to take the offering. Now, if you give online giving or you've already given through Sunday school, you're going to pass the plate. It's going to go by. But what if we do this? And I want to thank Donna Sink because she brought this idea to my attention. And her Sunday school class, the Faithful Workers class, has already decided we're going to do this. What if every Sunday, when the plates go by, when we take the offering, that everybody in this sanctuary puts something in the plate? Now, if you're like me, I probably have a few dollars in my pocket. Ella Ray asked me, she said, "Gee, Daddy, why do you always have cash?" And I said, "That's what old people do." I know young people don't carry cash. I know that. But old people do. And so I know for you young people, you may have to go and find some cash. But if everybody would just simply take a dollar. And if we can start this today, but come prepared next Sunday. And if everybody in this sanctuary would put something in the plate, it is a reminder of my commitment. It is a reminder that I'm going to do all that God is calling me to do. Can we do this? We need a reformation of attitude. We need a reformation of action. Sometimes I wonder if our best days are behind us. I look at the church that I came to pastor 26 years ago, and I look at all the people we've lost. But if I truly believe what I proclaim, the best days are not behind us. The best days are ahead. And we can do this with God's help, with God's mercy, with God's grace. Because this is God's church. And our motto, our watchword is, "For by grace have you been saved through faith." It is a gift. It is a gift of God. And we can be empowered by God, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and we can see our greatest days to come. Thanks be to God. Let us be focused on reformation on this Sunday. And let us pray. Oh God, you have called us to be your people. You have challenged us to live by your word and to live by faith. But we confess our weakness, we confess our faults, and we confess our doubts. But help us to have a reformation of our commitment with you, placing our hand in the Master's hand, allowing you to lead us and to guide us into a brighter future. The greatest days of this church are before us. So let us have that reformation of attitude and action so that we can live and work and believe in that great day. And we thank you that you have called us to be your people by the grace of God. Amen.